Now, this evening, I'm going to speak on this subject. It's from John 13, and verse 1. And then it's a thought that we're not unfamiliar with, but we're going to try and see whether we can look at fresh thoughts that would come from this particular chapter leading to the idea of love for each other, or love one another, 34, 35 of John 13. Okay, well, let's look at this very carefully. We read this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It is only on this basis that he could say to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Now, if he hadn't been able to love them, he cannot give a command that is going to be impactful, effective, and meaningful. How could Jesus have loved the disciples the way he did? And this is what we're going to examine first before we take up this idea. How did the disciples actually learn this lesson? Well, let's consider this very carefully. Now, if you were to read the gospel, this is now towards the end of his life, the last week, as it were. In fact, on Thursday would be the very last day of the time he would speak to his own disciples, after which, no more. Now, he has taught them many lessons. If you read Matthew through 5, 6, and 7, you come up with a whole lot of lessons to be learned. And then he taught them about faith, he taught them about work, he taught them about ministry, he taught them about their life, he talked to them about many things. Some of them were very hard. But you know, no matter how hard the lessons are, no matter how complex a doctrine may be, you can come down to it, you can come around, you can understand. You can look at it and say, you know, I can understand it. It may take time, but it can be understood finally. No matter how hard the work, long days, early morning, late at night, early morning, late at night, every day, hardly a break in between. And you know what? It can still be learned. Hard work. It's a matter of just squaring your shoulders, shrugging, and say, listen, I can do this. But you know, all throughout, the teaching about loving each other was not there. They were not ready for this lesson. So you don't see this teaching about love very much in the earlier chapters until you come to this last one. You can only teach about love if you have already proven it, demonstrated. Now, this is exactly what Jesus did. He explained it. He exemplified it. And his love was extraordinary in more ways than one. If you were to watch Jesus, what do you think of the Ten Commandments? What do you think is the greatest commandment? And his answer would be love. That's a pretty amazing description, a summary of the commandments of God. Many people feel that it's too hard, impossible to keep. And yet, the Lord Jesus kept each one. One word that stands out to him, love. Now, that's a pretty amazing way of trying to describe the Ten Commandments with just one word, love. But that's what he did. And that's how he taught, and this is important. So before he can talk to his disciples and tell them, love one another, first, he has to understand himself, what that love really was. What was the source of that love of the Lord? And I think this is very important. It is, as he said in John 5:20, the Father loves the Son. And later on in 15:9, he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. You know, the sense of love that a father and a son has is just absolutely amazing, to say the least. And I think this is something that is really very real, and, you know, if we understand it, and all parents would probably understand this. You know, there comes a surge within the heart. That love is for real. And it never fades. And it never dies. It's there all the time. No matter how you look at it. Distance, time, age makes no difference to a love that is deep and solid and real. And that's the kind of love that the Father gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he feels it. And his own heart, mind, soul, it just filled with this love. As the Father has loved me, so he loved me. And I think this is just really, really, really special. I had a very, very special birthday poem from Della. And she said, you know, I thought it was just really just a joy to the heart to see this sense of love that is there. And then she actually attempted it, and she did it, and I thought it was very moving to see this. I am just seeing so many young poets coming up, and I am just so happy. Every week I'm just wondering whether they can write some more. So been so far 3 weeks, 4 weeks. This Sunday, another one, a beautiful one coming up, Easter Sunday. Watch out for it. Okay? And then next week, I told Della, I'm going to print it. Not that she has very much choice, but you know, it's just a joy to see this. This is what it means to be so loved, to be so enveloped with love that, you know, what out it comes and you see the reality of the Lord's love. And so this is a real great challenge. The source of Christ's love is actually the Father himself. And it's difficult to understand that relationship because you need to enter into that relationship. And once it is there, that bond, that sense, that strength, it's just unbelievable. And so we read John 13:1. So knowing that he's going to depart from this world, we read, he loved his own. Now that's the first phrase we want. He loved his own. Well, that's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful phrase there. What do you mean by he loved his own? There were the multitudes. Did Jesus love them? Yes. For God so loved the world. But there were a group of people who became closer to his heart. And they were his disciples. And they became, as it were, his own. And so we read these words. Having loved his own. Right? Now, this is a very special relationship. He called them his own, and he loved them. Now, that's the beginning of that love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for his disciples. Now, men are not very good at expressing love. That's why you don't see the disciples speak about love for the Lord. It's very, very hard for them to come up with those words. I think we all understand that. For some reason, it just doesn't come out so easily. Right? But watch this very carefully. There hasn't been a word of love from his disciples to the Lord from beginning to the end. You realize this? They just followed him. They learned, but they never expressed what they really felt. I'm sure they must have loved the Lord, but that sense of love was just not fully understood yet. And so we read, he loved them to the end. And I asked myself, what are the things that how he could love? He loved them when they were ignorant. Boy, you don't know how ignorant they really were. They were ignorant. He loved them when they fumble, when they stumble, when they crumble. He still loved them. Now, it's got to be really, really tough to love. Sometimes it is. See, sometimes we think we're very lovely. Actually, we're not very lovable. You see, it's our perception of ourselves. We look at the mirror, hey, I'm not too bad. Well, that's not how the Lord sees us. Look at our weaknesses, look at our problems, look at our sinfulness. That's why the old phrase, he has a face that only his mother can love. Well, that's how it works sometimes. We really, really don't know how else. But the Lord loved them anyway. He loved them when they faltered. He loved them when they fumbled. He just loved them. And I think that is really, really a great challenge. Now, having proven it, having shown it, having demonstrated it, now he can say, a new commandment I give to you. Right? Now, let's look at 34, 35 and look at the strength of these words now. Remember the words. The strength of these words is to be found in the strength of the Lord's love for his disciples. Okay? That you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. Now, that is going to be tough. I mean, next to impossible. It is really going to be challenging. How do we understand this love that is there? Okay, new commandment. So this is not an option. Maundy Thursday reminds us that to love the Lord, to love one another is not an option. It is a commandment. Now, how does it work out? And we are to love as the Lord has loved it. And by this, you know, all will know that you are my disciples. That one characteristic mark of the Lord Jesus Christ is this one word we call love. Now, he has to give this in full context. How do we do this? Only if we learn to abide in his love. There's no other way. And the day that we are not abiding in that love falters, that love fails, that love stumbles. But as long as there is that love in the Lord, abiding in that love, there will always be that strength that is there. Now, we come to the last part of it. And the challenge is, how did the disciples respond? Let's take, for example, this Easter concert is about the call of the Lord in the life of Peter. What did Peter say? Now, this is where we need to look at John chapter 21 to understand how he finally responded. And this is the kind of love that we must seriously consider. Very often when we talk about feeling love, we feel an emotional upsurge. Is that good? Is that valid? Yes. The inspiration to write, well, is that good? Of course. But very often, the emotional love of it is not as stable, not as strong, not as noble, not as great as you imagine. What kind of love? Intellectually, yes. Can a person love another intellectually? Yes, you admire the mind, the nobility, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind as well. Of course. But what if we fail? What if we falter? Now, there is the kind of love that perhaps we could offer the Lord. Let's consider this. In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ had risen, but Peter and the disciples decided that, it's in verse 3 we read, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. He's not saying, I'm going to take my rod and I'm going to do some trout fishing. No, 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 this is not what it means. The construction of this sentence here, I am going fishing, literally means I quit. Right? I quit. I am not going to be disciple, apostle. I'm going to back to my old fishing trade. The other disciples felt, yeah, you quit, we quit. If you are a leader, you quit. What is there for us? You quit, we quit together. So a whole bunch of them were going to quit. Now that's when the Lord Jesus Christ came to them. And so Jesus said to them, and he called them children. That's what it is. Come on, you're behaving like children. So you fail. So what? So you falter. So what? I was reading a story about a guy who, in his company, and he cost the company $10 million. So he went to the boss, I guess you want me to quit. He said, what do you mean quit? You just learned a $10 million lesson. You don't quit. You carry on. You just learned a very important lesson. What kind of love is this? Watch this very carefully. It's a kind of love that comes after you've experienced humiliation. It's a love that comes with deep humility. That is the kind of love that God is looking for. Love one another, yes. But only when you know you have failed, and you look at other people, and you know they can fail, and you still love them. Love one another. This is the kind of love that the Lord really wants. Consider this. Now, secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ pushed Peter and said to him, Peter, okay, and this is the first one. And he said to Peter, the first question, he says, after they had breakfast, so Jesus asked Simon, do you love me more than these things? It's easy to go back to work. It's easy to go back to a job. It's easy to go back to your own industry. Now, do you love me more than these things you're doing? Now, Jesus used a very lofty word for the word love here. It's called agape. And Peter, how do you know you have this humble love now? He didn't want to use the word that Jesus used. The agapo word versus the philo word. Same word in English, love, love. You don't see a lot of difference, but there is a huge difference at times. Sometimes they are used interchangeably. In this particular case, it's not. The love that Jesus spoke about is the one he said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Agapo love. I love you kind of love. Now, Peter's response was one of humility. I have failed, I have faltered, I've stumbled, I'm almost on the verge of quitting. Can I speak of love? Yes. But it is philo kind of love. It's not unreal. It's not genuine. It is. But I just dare not to use the same word you use. Is that valid kind of love? Yes. That you can, it has to be sincere. You know, you don't want to say it's too much about it because you know you will falter and fail. But you will still say it. That tells us you are sincere. You see, that's what the Lord wants from us. A love that is sincere. Maybe it is not the grandest kind. It's not the best kind. Not the most wonderful kind. But it is still real. And it is sincere. And Peter stuck to this word. So the third time Jesus tries to draw Peter and say, well, Peter, do you love me? Again, agapo word. And Peter responds, Lord, you know. I love you. Now, just to get those words out of Peter, you've got to squeeze it out from a rock. But at least he said those words. Right? Now, this is important. There was one, I was reading this story about a man who was married for 40 years. And then there was this person who was doing a survey, and he asked the husband, and when was the last time you said you love your wife? He said, about 40 years ago when I got married. He says, have you said anything like that before? And after that, no. And he says, why? He says, well, I told her. If ever I change my mind, I will tell her. So he never said those words ever again. You see, it may be humbled kind of love. You don't want to say too much. You know, you don't want to say really a lot. But at least you know that this love has gone through literally the ringer. And you know, have you seen the old-fashioned ringer? You put the clothes in there, you wring it out, and it comes out, and the buttons are almost broken. That's how it was. That's how they used those washers in the days. Or you take the thing, you whack it on a rock, and you until, you know, it's that's how you get those jeans, right? You whack them silly until, and then you say, well, you pay a fortune, $200 for a pair of jeans that people whack all the time. And you say, these are good denim jeans. These are, you know, branded. That's why it's full of holes and all that. What do you think happened? They whack them until you... And then we all think it's very good. Somebody said it was very good, and everybody followed. I would never buy them. I would never wear them. If you ever give them to me, don't be surprised if I never wear them. Why? Well, that's what it is. You know, every time I see people wear those pants that are all full of holes, I feel like giving them some money. Well, what kind of thing is this? Oh, this it's a very different world that we live in today. But the whole issue of this love that the Lord has is the same. It's a kind of love. When the Lord Jesus asks us whether we love Him, whether we can love Him, what is He asking for? You know, we often think that this love cannot fail. This love must always be there. It must be wonderful. It must be everything that is there. And you realize it. You cannot make it. So as He loved us becomes an ideal that we will probably never reach. But nevertheless, that love is real. When it has been humiliated, when it has been humbled to dust, when it falters, when it nearly dies, and you dare not use that lofty agapo word, and you use a humble philo word, and you love the Lord, and you know what? That's enough. That's enough. And I want to tell you, sometimes we feel we've failed the Lord. Sometimes we feel that, you know, we're at the end of the world. Sometimes we feel that we've just ended badly. We've done everything wrong. We've done everything, and then we quit. You don't have to do that. You can come on back. And so the Lord calls us, and He tells us, yes, He wants us to love the way He did, but He knows we cannot do it. But you know what? He still loves us, and He still tells us, love as I have loved you. You may fail, you may falter, you may run aground, but you know what? That love is still there. And we can come back to the Lord. And this evening, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we just want to remember how the Lord Jesus loved us, and He loved us. And He will always love us to the end with the highest, the most noble kind of love. And even when we falter, we fail, and we cannot love the way He does, and all we can offer is a broken love, is a humbled love, it's a small kind of love, you know what? It's fine. He will still say, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed them. That is the kind of love that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's prepare our hearts for communion.